I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 616. This is your host, Danny. And yes, I'm solo this week. No Pete, no Paris. They're out of the country right now. They're in Paris, and they will be back next week after Thanksgiving. So stay tuned for that. But we do have a couple of cool stuff lined up for next month. And yeah, we only have a couple of weeks left before, you know, Christmas and also New Year. So we're going to be taking a couple of weeks off during the end of December, and we'll be back in January. So yeah, we need a break. We've been working really, really hard this year, but that's not going to stop us. We have a lot of cool stuff planned for GTR. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com and post your comments and feedback. Also, you could visit us at play.it/gamertag. You can listen to our past episodes over there and share it with your friends. And you can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, for those that, part of the Gamertag Radio Club, Xbox Live, and also the community too on PSN, you could search for Gamertag Radio. Join and play with other Gamertag Radio members. The thing that I would love for you is to not wait for us to post like game night and stuff like that. But if you see members that are already online, contact them, play with them, get to know each other. I think that's one of the main reasons why I made that, because we get a lot of emails of people asking, like, you know, they would like to meet other community members and stuff. And that, I think that's the best way to meet other listeners from around the world. So make sure to do that and join. Next year, it's going to be our 12th anniversary of Gamertag Radio. So we're going to be celebrating in Orlando. And anybody that's close around the area, lives there, we would love for you to attend. There's going to be a screening of The Messengers, a podcast documentary that I'm part of, and also P in Paris, the whole crew. We're part of, and they've been following us for a while, and they're going to premiere it at this event called PodFest in Orlando, and it's perfect. It's the day before our 12th anniversary, February 24th, 2017 in Orlando, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. But I would love for the listeners out there that would like to attend. You don't have to pay anything. This is totally free. Just contact me, Godfrey@gamertagradio.com. That's Godfrey@gamertagradio.com. Email me if you would like to attend. You know, my goal is to have a lot of GTR community members at the event. And at the same time, you get to meet the crew. You get to meet all of us, and we're going to be hanging out and everything. And I think it's a great time. It's going to be a great event, and I would love for our listeners to attend. So please email me as soon as possible if you would like to attend. And I hope we can make this happen. All right, so this week we have an interview with Robert Bowling. I don't know if you remember him, 402. He used to be the community manager for the Call of Duty series back in the days. And he also worked on other things too. But now he's working on a new project called Game Pump. So we had a great conversation about this. And this is cool. This is a new company where you subscribe to this service and you pay either a monthly or yearly subscription. and you get to play classic games. Every month they're gonna have a brand new game from back in the days that never been released, and you could play it through your PC, Mac, or also Steam machine and so on. We had a chance to sit down and record this interview, so I'm going to play right now. And once we come back, I have a couple more things to say to you guys. I'll be right back.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we have a special guest here, a good friend of ours. We've known him for a very, very, very long time. Robert Bowling, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
For those that don't know, you were part of the Call of Duty series back in the days. I know you've been working on other things. And now this is a new thing that you're working on now, right?
Yeah, that's right. We just launched Game Pump.
Oh, Game Pump. So tell us a little bit about this, man, because I'm pumped. I'm excited about this, man. I got to see the video, and it's, I know it's similar to basically you play like the classics, right? On your PC, Mac, and maybe also Steam machine. I don't know. I'm going to ask you a couple questions about that. But tell us a little bit about this, man.
Yeah, so the gist of it is we're basically going and we're uncovering lost games and franchises that aren't available on modern hardware or marketplaces. So we're really looking at what classic games that we used to love, right? You used to go to the store, you rent it every single week at Family Video or Blockbuster just so you could beat it. And then it never left that generation of console. It never made its way to PC. It's never made its way to gamers today. And we're doing all of the work required. Typically, that's 50% legal work and 50% development work to bring it to modern hardware, bring it out on Steam for the first time ever. And then the cool part is if you subscribe to Game Pump, you get it as part of that service at a massive discount.
So it's basically every month there's going to be one game, right? It's not multiple games per month?
Right, yeah. A single game a month, 12 games a year. If you sign up for a full year, you actually get a bonus game. So you get 13 games over the course of 2017. And it's $20 for a year. So that ends up netting out about $1.67 a month, which is an insane discount and something we can only do once per game when it launches and only do it with the annual subscribers. Otherwise, you know, you still get a pretty good discount, but not as great.
Man, you mentioned Blockbuster Video and all that. Man, I feel old right now, man. Super old. Now, how old when it comes to like the games and stuff for the service? Are you taking it back to like Atari days or Super Nintendo, Nintendo, or Sega Genesis?
What's up? We're generally looking about you know, the oldest we've done deals for now are about 30 years. So you're looking at like you know, probably the oldest is you know, content off of the MSX, which came out around the same time as the NES. Okay. And competed with the NES pretty well, but mostly in Japan. And the cool thing about that is, like, there's a lot of amazing games that came out on the NES, right? Unfortunately, yeah. You're not allowed to legally emulate the Nintendo hardware. They don't allow you to commercially do that. But there were a lot of really killer games that came out on the NES, but also came out at the MSX, which was a less popular console here in the States at the same time. They're the same game. So we've actually been able to sort of license the MSX library for the same games and get around that sort of, you know, trying to bring an NES game, a literal NES game, to the platform.
What about this? Like, you know, there's some consoles that wasn't that popular during that time, like the 3DO or maybe Jaguar. Do you probably, there's some games that maybe got your guys' attention that that probably came out around that time for those consoles too?
Oh, totally. I mean, we're, you know, the Holy Grail are like the killer third-party stuff that came out on NES, Super Nintendo. But, I mean, there was so much good stuff on the 3DO, on the Jaguar, like you mentioned, Sega CD, Sega Mega Drive, like the lesser popular Sega consoles. You know, everybody... Nearly everybody I knew had a Genesis, but you know, the other ones were, you know, a little smaller marketplaces.
Now, what about like the most recent, like maybe maybe take it back to Sega Dreamcast. So you probably just maybe some games there that got your attention too from around that time.
Yeah, as long as they never came to PC is really, and even if they did come to PC, as long as they're not on Steam. So there are some fairly recent ones that we're looking at. If there's a really cool game that, you know, came out, even if it was in the 360 era, that was a great game, and for whatever reason never left the console, we're looking at those. Those are, you know, those tend to be bigger games, and therefore take a lot longer to do in terms of getting the rights cleared and porting it over to PC. But generally, you know, we do have a few of those, you know, lined up for later in the year.
Do you think that's a little bit more challenging too for the most recent games, because some of them might have like some online features that I don't know if that's going to be a little bit more challenging for you guys?
There is some aspect to it. If they were trying to call some server that doesn't exist anymore, or there was some matchmaking system that was built specifically for the hardware that they're on, like they were using, some backend from Microsoft on the Xbox side or something, there are things that we need to consider. So, you know, that eliminates some titles that we evaluate. The other hard thing with the more modern games is, a lot of them have been brought to PC already by their publisher. So your sort of library of games gets smaller the more modern you get. And really, we're looking at the stuff that it sort of came out, unfortunately, something happened to their publisher, their developer. Maybe they went into bankruptcy and there's just no one left to care for the game. And that's really where we come in, and we're like, hey, there's an audience who would love this. This was a great game at its time. It sucks that the company that released it isn't around anymore, but let us bring it out and then, you know, maybe make something out of it again instead of letting it be lost to, you know, time.
How challenging is like to find like the people that worked on this game back in the days, because like you said, maybe it's been lost and it's maybe they're not even doing anything with gaming anymore. Like, how challenging is to find those developers that worked on those?
It's super hard. I mean, you know, luckily I've been in the industry for a long time and I know nearly everybody in the industry, and so, you know, it's surprising who you can find. But you're right, a lot of these guys, they're not in gaming anymore. They're retired, or they moved on, or they're doing some other sort of business. And really, 50% of this, the challenge of doing this, is finding who owns it, who has the legal right to let us do this. And then more importantly, like finding source code, because a lot of times we'll go to these mega publishers and we'll tell them, we'll be like, hey, you know, 10 years ago, you acquired this company, and 5 years before that, they had acquired a company which published this game. So technically, you're the owner of this franchise, and a lot of times they won't even know it. They'll be like, oh, great, okay, well, yeah, you can release it, but we don't have the source code. We don't have any of the original assets. And those are always interesting, because we can still license the IP from them, but then we have to go find a physical copy of that game and hopefully rip the assets off it, hopefully find an original member of the dev team and get his assistance in getting those and rebuilding the game or emulating the game to bring it out.
And so how this concept came about, GamePub?
So, you know, initially it started where there were, you know, a lot of games that I wanted to play that just weren't available on Steam. And I got to researching, like, oh, like, what happened to these games? Why hasn't someone brought them back? They were such good games. And, you know, obviously a lot of the classic EA stuff, they're bringing back on Origin themselves. Nintendo does a good job of bringing their games back. But there's so many third-party games that they have no one to do that for them. And then I played the Turok re-release that Night Dive Studios did. And they did a fantastic job, because they didn't mess with the formula at all. Turok was a great N64 game, right? And
Classic,
yeah,
for sure.
They bring it back on Steam, and I was like, oh my God, like, I love this game. It looked as terrible as I remember. It was as fun as I remember. It had all the secrets. And I was like, we need to do this with more. And unfortunately, it's hard to do. It takes a lot of legwork, a lot of legal work, and a lot of upfront capital to make it happen. So unfortunately, there's not a lot of people in a position to do it. And I felt like, because I was so passionate about it and I could, you know, I knew enough people, we could do the legal work, we could fund it. I figured, why not?
You know, one thing I was thinking about now, you know, it would be cool if you guys could probably get the original creators or developers that work on those games are going to be releasing on this website through the service, and maybe have like a video or audio or even put in a game or of like the story, like how was it like them working on this back in the days and stuff like that. Like, it would be cool to learn the history about those games that came out that time, you know, that's going to be available for the service. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I haven't thought about that.
Definitely, man. So, I mean, the feedback, the community is going crazy about this. They're loving this. It's going around. I know they talked about this on NeoGAF and a couple of the places, especially social media. Why is it that you think people are liking this so much, man? Especially, you know, playing those old school games from back in the days, man.
I think, you know, it seems like one of those like just wishful things of like, yeah, of course that's a good idea. But then it's one of those things that you're like, why hasn't anybody done it? You know? And so I think that's like, there's a lot of games that people miss. And so when they see that we're doing this, they start thinking about all of those games and come to the realization that I came to, that there are tons of games that never made it to modern hardware. And so I think that just gets people excited, especially right now that like so many good retro games have come back, right? Like you have Nintendo doing the NES Classic that just came out and is sold out everywhere.
Yeah, I got mine at midnight over here in Miami, and it sold out super quick. So yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, the hunger is there. And I also think like from an age standpoint, this is the perfect time because you have so many people who were kids when the NES came out, who are now in their 30s and you know, mid 30s, who have kids of their own, and they want to introduce them to the progression of gaming that they experienced, right? They don't necessarily want their first game to be a free-to-play game or their first game to be some massive, you know, blockbuster. They sort of want them to you know, pay their dues, go back and play these super hard, super challenging, no save point games. And so I think that timing is just perfect.
See, like, there's a lot of gamers that have their PC, which they will. I definitely know they're gonna sign up for this. But what about those that have like the Mac or Linux, or like me, I have also the Steam machine. You know, do I have to wait? Let's say the service launches in January. Do I have to wait a little bit longer to actually play these games, or it's gonna be available for everyone at the same time?
Well, right now we can only guarantee that it'll be for Windows PC. When we can, we're going to support Mac and Linux, and that's right now it's a case by case basis. Like, you know, we do all the time when it comes to PC development, it really comes down to demand. So if we, you know, if 100% or, you know, a good majority, 90%, 80% of our subscribers, you know, tell us like, oh no, we really want Linux versions or we really want Mac versions, then, you know, we'll definitely do that extra work to make sure it's ported to those platforms. Right now we're aiming for PC and then hope to do the Mac and Linux versions shortly after launch.
Definitely, man. So how long you guys been working this behind the scenes?
It's been about, I think, 9 months. So 9 months of mostly a lot of legal legwork of tracking down the IPs, the owners, getting them out of bankruptcy courts, getting them out of whatever legal entanglements they're in, and then, you know, getting them to development teams to sort of do whatever work's necessary to bring them up.
And how's it been the experience, man, for you? Because I know you've been working on other things behind the scenes, and this one is like the most recent thing for you.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I actually like doing a lot more investment publishing stuff. You know, back in the day, I was on a development team and focused on day-to-day development of a single franchise. I don't know if I can do that anymore. I don't know if I have the attention span to just focus on one franchise for, you know, 10 years of my life again. So, you know, being able to work with a lot of different developers, a lot of different games, like every single one has a different set of challenges, has been super rewarding for me.
See, the thing that got my attention about this is, you know, I'm very old school. I love my NES, Atari, all that stuff. But the thing I like about this is that you know, there's a lot of people from this generation that don't know anything about those games that came out back in the days. You know, especially like, for example, the NES Classic. You know, I showed it to my nephews and they got excited. They were asking me questions about certain games that's available in the system. So, you know, it's cool for them now to learn the history about some of the games that came out that wasn't, you know, it was very popular, maybe died out very quick or something, you know, from back then. But I like this, man, like the whole history part. I think it's very important that we need that more nowadays, you know, more than ever. Instead of the usual, you know, AAA games that always comes out yeah. every year, you know. So this is cool and this is different, man. I really love this concept big time, man.
Cool, thank you. You know?
Yeah, definitely, man. So for more information about the service, and one more time, you know, let them, the listeners, know what they should do if they're interested about this.
If you want to sign up and you want to get 13 retro games, one a month, sent directly to your inbox, you just go to gamepump.com. It's $20 for an entire year, and then you're set. You just sit back and relax. First Friday of every month, you're going to get a new game.
So my last question, I forgot about this. Are we going to find out the day of, like on a Friday, or are you guys going to announce it like maybe a couple of days, or is it going to be like a surprise type thing?
It's blind. So you're going to find out when it drops in your inbox. Obviously, once people start getting them, it's going to spread and everyone's yeah. going to know. And then as they come out, they'll be added to the website because even if you don't subscribe, you're still going to be able to buy it at full price after it comes out. You're just not going to get the massive discount that the people who subscribed and didn't know what it was got.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Loot Crate. Just wait until it shows up, right?
Yep.
Just cool, man. All right, Robert, but thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
We're going to play our first question. This is from Keon. Keon, what's up? Let's play right now.
What's up, Danny? What's going on, Paris? And how you feeling, Pete Rock? This is Keon calling from Baltimore with another question for you guys. Now, the situation, I'm going to make this brief. I'm not going to be long-winded with this one. But the situation is Xbox One, well, Xbox has officially won another month of NPDs for October. Now, a lot of people are speculating that the PlayStation 4 Pro will be the dominant force in November. My question to you guys is, with Xbox being able to have taken another month, which is amazing, 4 months in a row from where they started at coming to where they are now, it's pretty amazing. But do you guys think that this will be the, well, November, yeah, this month will be the month that the momentum finally slows down? Or do you think that they can continue on with this track record? Because they've also been the number one selling console in the UK and Australia for the last 2 months. So it really seems like things are starting to turn around, or is this purely because most game players were waiting on the PlayStation 4 Pro? Just wanted to get you guys' thoughts about this. I'm kind of sure you guys somewhat hinted at this question already, so I apologize if I'm repeating what was already said, but I really just wanted to get you guys' take since they have officially won a fourth month. Thank you guys for everything that you do, and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
Is PlayStation 4 Pro going to be Xbox One in during the month of November? That's a great question, because we talked about this a couple of times already. And here's the thing. The majority of people that I've been hearing from, like, my local area, my job and stuff like that, they will always mention about either Xbox 249 or PlayStation 4 Slim. I haven't really heard much about PlayStation 4 Pro, and the reason is because it's still more expensive than the other consoles. Not everybody has a 4K TV, so they'll get confused, like, oh, do I need a 4K TV in order to buy this? So I tell them, if this is your first console, I'd rather buy the PlayStation 4 Pro instead of going with the Slim. Now, the thing is too, that I've been seeing a lot more commercials of Xbox, either they're promoting the games, or they will always show something, or maybe like a commercial of just the console overall and all the games and everything. And they always would show starting $299 and so on. But I think Xbox is going to be still on top during the month of November and December. Now, January and so on, I don't know. It's a little bit tricky because after the holidays, things slow down when it comes to sales. So we'll see. I've been seeing a lot of ads with Xbox, so I just don't see them stopping at all. So, I mean, I might be wrong. Let me know. I mean, I know there's a lot of gamers that purchase a PlayStation 4 Pro, but is that going to be enough to beat a $299 or $249 console? I don't think so. So, just be on the lookout. I think the most interesting thing is Black Friday. There's a lot of salesmen everywhere for both the Slim, the PlayStation 4 Slim, and Xbox One S. So, I think they're going to do a pretty good job during the Black Friday weekend. So yeah, Keon, I don't see Xbox stopping anytime soon. So I mean, let me know how many people out there actually went to the store and bought a PlayStation 4 Pro. The average person, I think they're going to go straight to the cheaper console than anything else, you know? So I think the hardcore audience definitely bought the 4K console for sure. The hardcore audience, they'll do anything. They're the same ones that are going to be buying Scorpio next year. You know, day one. Same thing with the Switch. What about everybody overall? The casual gamers, the how Paris call them, the little Johnnies of the world. Are they going to actually go and buy a PlayStation 4 Pro just because it's a brand new console? No. They're going to go with the cheaper one. All right, this is from Christopher Rosario. Shout out to you, man. He's a longtime listener of GTR. So he sent us an email. Hello, Godfrey and the crew. Just a quick thought on the NES Classic console. I'm excited to get one for the nostalgia, but they did drop the ball with the ability to add some new games. I'm assuming they will be rolling out similar Super Nintendo N64 version to get more money out of us. Any word on the Sega version of their classic Genesis console? I saw an ad for one, but nothing at GameStop. Great job with the podcast, as always. Shout out to Christopher for the email. I know there's a company out there that they got permission from Sega in order to them to work on this classic Sega Genesis version that's similar to the NES Classic Edition. So there's a company called Tectoy that are already, they're in production right now working on this console that's going to have a bunch of Sega Genesis games there. They already launched pre-orders now, so you could go right now to techtoy.com to pre-order this. It's going to have an SD card plus 22 games installed and written there. So an SD card. Interesting. So you could go right now and pre-order. Go to techtoy.com if you would like to get one of these. But yeah, it's going to have 22 games, and some of them I'm going to mention right now is Game Ground, Alien Storm, Archer Beast, Alex Kidd, Golden Axe, Golden Axe 3, Sega Soccer, Shinobi 3, Sonic 3, Turbo Outrun, and many, many more. Roughly right now is $125. It's not that cheap, but hey, if you're a fan of the Sega Genesis, I think this is the one for you. So go right now to techtoy.com and you can pre-order the console. All right, so this is an email from Roger from all the way from Australia. Shout out to him. All right, so he's just started a brand new show on YouTube. He got inspired by listening to Gamer Tag Radio, and he's thinking of having a couple of friends each week and chat about gaming news. Well, he's going to have, you know, roundtable discussions with his friends, and while they're playing video games, and they're going to post it on YouTube and on Twitch. Similar to the things that we do over here. But he wants to get any tips for someone starting out. Roger, I'll tell you this, man. I think you should just concentrate on that. Just having fun with your friends. Get to know each other even more on a personal level. I think that will make the show even better. and just play games. Play, record, post them on Twitch, YouTube. Don't worry about numbers. Don't worry about none of that stuff. You know, for me, you know, I started with really bad microphone, bad equipment, but I managed to just record conversation that I had with the whole crew back in the days and, you know, in 2005. And I really didn't care about the quality, none of that stuff. I was just having a blast. And we eventually got better and better. And then I invested on getting better equipment and so on. But one thing that we managed to do too is get out of the house. Go attend events. If there's like a local event around Australia, like I think there's a PAX Australia, attend, go there, record interviews, especially, you know, the indie developers. They're dying for someone to interview them so they could promote their games and stuff. I think that will be a great way for you to start. And eventually you're going to get better. More people are going to know you. This industry is so small. It will go around. They're going to talk about you, about your YouTube and everything. And a lot of companies right now are concentrating on YouTubers and Twitch streamers. So focus on that. Focus on that. Don't worry about numbers. You're going to start small and eventually it's going to, you know, you're going to get a lot more new listeners. So everything takes time. Everything takes time. Roger, one of the most important things is have patience and just keep on working and don't give up. Everything takes time. And eventually, once you do all that stuff and you get to know people in your local area, forget about worldwide. Think about the people that live in your area. They're gamers. Find your community. If there's any local events, any tournaments, any like esports or launch event, attend. Take a little recorder or a little video camera and just record and post that to your YouTube and Twitch. That's one of the things too. I have to say, not everybody has the time to watch your stuff live, but a lot of people will have time to watch or to download your content that's already recorded. So also think about that too. All right, and good luck with your show. And send me the link once it's live. I'll check it out and I'll support you, man. And I'll share with other people that follow me on Twitter and on Facebook, man. So good luck, man. But now, look, I just want to say that you know, I'm going to wrap it up because this is going to be a very, very short show, you know, due to we've been like super busy for the past few days. But we'll be back after Thanksgiving. We have a lot of cool stuff planned, and I can't wait to share it with you, the listener. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.